Would you like to be certified by God? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. Hebrews 11 gives us a list of Old Testament folks who received the divine seal of approval. And they all got that recognition the same way, by faith. And that's not the easy way either, as all of them would testify. Since faith is an intangible quality, it helps to see examples of how it works in a human life. But let's back up a bit and get a running start from Hebrews 10. Today we'll hear the conclusion of Jim's sermon, Don't Throw Away Your Confidence.
Now notice how the chapter unfolds. Verse 35. So don't throw away your confidence. See, that's what you lose. You lose your confidence. You don't lose your conversion. You lose your confidence when you waffle and compromise. You lose your confidence. You lose your edge. You lose your inner sense of wholeness, your sense of feeling right with God. That's what you lose. You lose your confidence. And the writer said, don't throw away your confidence. There's great reward to being a confident Christian. Have endurance. Because, verse 37, for in a little while, and he's quoting an Old Testament passage here, for in yet a very little while, the coming one will come and not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. That's a promise from Habakkuk, tied in with a few verses or a reference from Isaiah. And what it's saying is, God won't be late. He may not be there with the promise at the time you wish, but he keeps his promise, and he will never fault on the promise. And the greatest promise he's made to us is that this coming one is coming. And when he comes, he's going to change the whole game. He's going to destroy Satan. He's going to destroy sin. He's going to give us a new body. On and on and on and on and on the list goes of the things that God has promised to us. So persevere, stand fast. And then he closes the chapter with this verse. We are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and obtain life. Those that have faith are those that persevere, those that stand firm in their faith. What is faith? We read in chapter 11, verse 1. What is faith? Faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. Faith is possessing with your heart what God has promised to give you, but you can't touch with your hands. That's what faith is. Faith is taking God at his word, believing God, moving the direction that gives God pleasure, and then waiting for God to give that which he promised. That's what faith is. And God tells us that he is displeased and that people who turn away from their faith, people who vacillate in their faith, people who compromise their faith, bring upon themselves all kinds of distressing situations, and God does not wish that. And chapter 11 is given to us to tell us about what faith, confidence, endurance is really all about, and to show us how it works. Look at those first three verses. Faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. That means faith is always dealing in something you can't prove. That's what that means. Faith is trusting where you can't prove. Why would you trust? Because the one who makes the promise is trustworthy. That's why you trust. Because you can see where the one who makes the promise has been faithful over and over and over and over and over again throughout earth history, keeping his promises to people who heard his word and kept it. That record, that phenomenal historic record, it's a tremendous basis for faith. Faith is affirmed or is quickened or is strengthened by seeing how other people who are your friends and relatives who walk with the Lord, see how God works in their lives. That encourages faith. But faith is holding the substance of something you can't touch. It's it's like having the deed to a piece of property. You may have the property right here in front of you, but you got the deed. And that deed says that you own a piece of property. It's your reality of what is not seen at this moment. The writer goes on to tell us it's by this thing called faith, trusting, persevering, being obedient and responsive to what God has said because God has said it, it's by this faith our ancestors were approved. You'll find that word approved about four times in the next verses. Work it out. Take time sometime this week and just locate those four times approved. And what it's saying is God gives us a historic record where He, God, approved of this person and what they did. This person did the right thing for the right reason at the right time, and God smiled and approved him, affirmed, supported, rewarded his decision. And that's what we're going to find in all these case histories in chapter 11. Our ancestors demonstrate the power and the tremendous effectiveness of faith, trusting God, taking God at His word. Verse 3, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen has been made from things which are not visible. Notice the contrast there. What is seen is made from something that isn't seen. The source of the creation of God is invisible. That's where science has its problem. You go back so far in the study of origins, and science will take you back that far, and then you come to a point where you're reaching out into what was before that, what was before that, what was before that. And you start philosophically trying to find answers. The Bible begins on a premise of faith. It tells us exactly how the universe is made. I'm sorry they created this verse this way. Let me read it to you more literally. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. See that word, universe? That should be ion. It should be the word ages. What it's talking about is not just the substance, the molecular substance of chemicals and minerals and all of that. It's talking about their arrangement and their purpose for being that way. That's what it's talking about. In other words, we could say God had a plan, a dream, something He wanted to create. And He created what was necessary for that plan to be fulfilled. And everything that He created had purpose within that plan. There is no meaningless created thing. Everything that God created, He created to fulfill a purpose. And that purpose was the unfolding of His plan, which we call the ages. Or the times, we give them all kinds of fancy names. Back in ancient history, back in prehistoric times, we give them all those names today, and we even have names for the tomorrows. Those are ages or epochs or movements through which history makes its way. God didn't just create man and woman. He created a plan for them, a purpose for them, a design for them. He didn't just create the sun, He created a purpose for the sun. And someday, the sun will no longer exist. God's going to destroy the present order, and He's going to create a new heavens and new earth. He says, behold, I make all things new. All things will be new. And in that new order, there won't be any sun. But the sun, we saw a bit of it today, that sun has a purpose. It's not just God saying, let me show you my muscle. there. What do you think of that? God created the sun, what? To rule the day. He created the moon. He created the stars for seasons, for signs, for weather, for life. The point the writer is making is that by faith, we accept by faith, because we weren't there to see it. If we were, we wouldn't have understood it, couldn't have comprehended it. We accept on the basis of God's integrity, we accept that He did that in the way He said, and we see that in the way He did it, He had purposes for everything. He had a plan, and we see that He's as much in control of the plan unfolding as He is the individual components that make up the sets of the scenes. You follow me? In other words, creation, universe, ages, all point to the Creator. They're not hapless. There's not an accident in it. God Himself planned, and we read verses where we're told that God was active before He laid the foundations of the earth. We read that He did things before He created the angelic hosts. We read that He did things, thought things, planned things before. Before what? Before He put in motion the physical creation of what we call the universe. Faith interprets that, understands that, accepts that, receives that, relates to that, out of the matrix of, this is my Father's world. He made it. He created it. Everything in it has purpose and plan. Everything in it expresses His will. Even the bad stuff. Because the bad stuff expresses His curse. And we know why His curse rests upon the earth. That's a pretty gripping definition, don't you think? Or illustration? I love the story it's told of a very, very famous old-time evangelist. He was on a cruise going from New York over to England. And there was a very famous young skeptic, PhD, double XYZ, QMF, all the rest of it, on board, and one afternoon he saw the old gentleman lounging there with his Bible in front of him, and he walked up, sneer on his face, "Say, Doc," said, "you must be," "Yeah, that's who I am, yeah." Said, "you believe that book?" "Oh, yeah." "How can you do that?" He said, "that's foolish. That is, I could never do that. Why couldn't you do that?" "I can't accept anything that I can't prove." The old gentleman invited the young skeptic son and said, "Son, you got any pictures of your family? I'm curious." The young boy pulled out his billfold and flipped out one. The old man stopped and said, "That's your mother?" "Yeah." He said, "how do you know that?" "What do you mean? How?" "Well, how do you know? Can you prove she's your mother?" "Well, she told me she was. My father told me she was." The old gentleman said, "this book was written by my father. And what he tells me here, he doesn't lie." We understand. Our understanding, our way we conceptualize, our way we think, our way we study, our way we grow is all based upon faith. And by the way, that's true whether it's faith in truth or faith in error. Everybody lives by faith. Everybody. Everybody accepts what they cannot prove. some of them choose to have faith in the wrong thing that leads to tragedy. Those who choose to put their faith in the God of the Scriptures, man, have you got a future. Incredible. By faith we understand that the universe was created, that the ages were created by the Word of God. Think about that. God spoke, and it was so. Do I believe in a 24-hour, seven-day creation? No. I believe in an instantaneous creation. God said, let there be light. There was light. God said, let the apple tree appear. Apple tree full of apples. No months, weeks, years of maturity. Everything that God created in the first chapter of Genesis is created instantly, immediately, dynamically. It is the energizing power of the Word of God spoken alone that brought every substance into material being. I believe that God ordered that arrangement as an early pattern for man. 6 days, day of rest, 6 days, day of rest. But the point is, it's by the Word of God. And when God speaks, He's God. It's so. It's just so. And whatever is necessary for it to be so happens. The Word, the world, the universe, man, all those things created by the Word of God. So that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. The Word of God, the breath of God, is not a visible element. God Himself is Spirit. Aside from Jesus, who's in a body, God the Spirit, God the Father is Spirit, God the Holy Spirit is Spirit, God the Son became man, His Spirit tabernacles in a human body and beyond that. So God is essentially Spirit, and Spirit are not visible to the human eye. Angels are not normally visible to the human eye, but they're very real. Things which are were made out of things that you can't see. What a wonderful world we live in. Now, when that God spoke in Genesis, boom, it was so. When that God speaks through the prophets, it may not be boom, but you can count on it. It's just as certain to take place. So faith is that attitude of persistence that rests in the word, promise, work of the Almighty. Absolutely confident that He is competent to all that He says and needs to do. Absolutely, absolutely sure that He never lies and never misspeaks. Let me pray with us. Our Heavenly Father, all of us come to those times when we're facing decisions, pressures, like these folks were way back there in that first century, where their faith is being challenged and they were being forced to think outside their experience. They were being forced to consider their own comfort instead of sacrifice. It was not a pretty time for them. And the writer to them is concerned that they'll make a very foolish decision and turn from all that faith holds, all that faith promises, and begin to make their decisions based upon just logic or popular opinion or what's politically correct or what seems to be fun, or what I really would like to do. Instead of remaining perseverant, steadfast, in their Christian walk and faith. Thank you, Father, that you never fail us during those times of decision, that the indecision is only for our benefit. It doesn't reflect that you've left us, abandoned us. It doesn't reflect even that we fail somewhere in the past. All of us do that. It's a time and experience you allow to come into our lives to purposely bless us, perhaps stir us up, perhaps teach us something new, perhaps show us some new dimension of your grace. You will keep all of your promises. You will never fail. We can trust you for that. And we can wait patiently, believing what we know to be true, continuing to doubt our doubts and to believe our beliefs. Continue to stand upon your promises and not succumb to the deceptive voices of events or folks that would lead us away from our relationship and our walk with you. Thank you for this wonderful book. And I pray that next week as we remind ourselves and reacquaint ourselves with how the old folks, the folks who were our pioneers, the pioneers of walking by faith, as we see how they did it, may we be encouraged to do the same. Again, thank you for the privilege of meeting together. Thank you, Father, for your infinite grace. Dismiss us now to be more aware of your beauty in a flower, of your goodness in a raindrop, your power as we listen to a thunder, your peace. Make us more aware of your peace as troubling things invade our lives. We ask this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
By faith, we understand. There's a phrase to highlight in your Bible. There's still no better explanation for the origin of the universe than, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But we weren't there. That knowledge is appropriated by faith. Over three Right Start episodes, we've heard Jim's message, don't throw away your confidence. If you'd like a copy of the lesson on CD, we'll send it to you for a gift of $7 or more. Our current series in the Letter to the Hebrews is called God's Ultimatum, Volume 2. The 20 discs in the set will arrive at your door for an offering of $69 or more. Your contributions and prayers make a difference for us at Right Start. With your help, we can continue to shine this light to reach more people with the only message that matters, the Word of God. Thanks to all of you who have a hand in this ministry. May God bless you. Please mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA, or call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And visit our website, rightstartradio.org. There you'll find free resources to help you grow in the faith. You can play radio programs from the site or play or download the original sermons. And you can stay connected to the show no matter what your schedule by signing up for the podcast. There's a link for that and a way to donate, too, at rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. When the author of Hebrews begins to name the blessed people of faith, he goes all the way back to Genesis. We'll follow him there during Jim's next sermon. Please join us again for Wednesday's Right Start.